death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on WGRN 94.1. This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on WGRN 94.1, the Green Renaissance. And a lot of talk these days about the police, law enforcement. We've got Melissa Lapotinsky for your listening pleasure. She's with Heartbeat Movement, De-escalate Ohio. Also, her cohort and co-conspirator, David Harewood. Welcome to the other side of the news.
Thank you.
Call. Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about issue two. This close to the election, how should people vote? How should we think? Not just vote, but how should we think about this so-called reform from Columbus City Council?
Well, I think that you should really be tactical in your thinking and not go in so blind. I do believe that this is something that I'll agree with one thing that the mayor said, which is if it were to pass, their contract is coming up in December between the FOP and the city. And it would give them more negotiating power on part of the city. The problem is, go ahead.
Well, with that said, they've had a chance to negotiate with the police on all of these measures for quite some time and have done very little. People have been calling for something akin to a community review board for the last several decades. And while this may not have the teeth, that we need, because it's very vague in the way that it's written now, we do know that it's a good first step. And the contract does come up immediately after that, so it might give them leverage. Thing is, are they going to use it?
Yes, but if you were to rebut that, if you were to actually start calling your lawmakers and such, and we could get the bill, for instance, House Bill 703 passed, you could get more teeth at a state level. So essentially, consider it insurance.
But what about the fact that we have gerrymandered districts and the Republicans, very conservative Republicans, seem to have the most power. Now, if this was about bribing sort of energy officials, they'd be able to get away with it. But can we get something like this passed? State laws?
I feel like passing it at a state level is going to be way more powerful, honestly, because if we pass it at a state level, because again, this is on us, and you do make a good point, but I don't care what your political affiliation is. Some of these bills, Republicans should have no problem getting behind. These are common sense, like, policies.
Common sense based on what, though? Like, they have
common sense, but as far as
they built it.
It's common sense in the sense of, for instance, House Bill 710 for biased police and profiling, basically stop being racist. Or it's common sense that they have to show their badge. It's common sense that they shouldn't do, with the arrest and citation quotas. It's common sense not to cut a man's air off by strangulation. It's also common sense in order to build bridges with the police, because do understand that Heartbeat Movement is not at all anti-police. They are anti-police brutality. In fact, Cynthia has a nephew who is a state trooper. In fact, that is her other nephew, Kareem, who was shot in the back by the police. It's his brother. And so it's a very unique situation.
Okay.
So with that, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is just because it's Republican dominant doesn't mean that they can't make it a so quote unquote Republican bill. It's something Republicans can absolutely get behind. So no matter what your representatives' political affiliation, why would the Republicans be calling and emailing?
Okay.
With meetings, with calling, with blowing up their phones. You have to make your voices heard as citizens. Otherwise, what are they representing?
Good question. But for our listeners, we never really defined issue two. That is the Civilian Review Board for Columbus. And what you're suggesting is we should be thinking statewide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's right there. We need more sponsors. We need more people on board. And they can pass this. Like the state can pass this. It's just a matter of bringing it to the people's attention. Look with issue two. For years, they've been talking about it. Only up until this year did they slap something together.
Actually, there was a commission that the mayor had drawn for the previous 2 years after a long series of grassroots activism against police brutality issues.
There was 4 years of negotiation.
There was 4 years of negotiation, 2 years of study.
And the city.
Right. And then when they unveiled it, he promised to read it. And then we shut down, and then the world was set on fire as soon as, the uprising happened right after that commission had been made public. So they also had the language for the Community Review Board, or the Citizens Review Board, rather, in the books for the previous several months.
True. And the police, of course, did in fact mace the city council president. So you would think that he might be motivated as well as the county commissioner.
Because it had already been written there.
Right? Well, he might have been motivated to actually pass it quickly.
Right.
Well, if that were the case, then they would have actually voted on it instead of putting it on to the people. if that were the case.
Yeah, what do you make of the fact that they didn't pass it themselves, which they usually, if this involved a tax break for somebody incredibly rich, they would have tripped over each other passing it at the council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, they didn't. They kicked it back to the people. What should we make of that?
Because the Thin Blue Line people don't want this to pass. The people want it to pass, right? So the money that is coming behind these police advocates, the FOP, their allies, quietly saying things like, well, the Citizens Review Board is either not going to have enough teeth or they're going to undermine the police. Well, the police are still doing things that are egregious on a regular basis and have zero accountability held to them. All that this does is set up at the very least, it sets up an investigative board to be able to credibly look into these things before, of course, under the current contract, they pass it back over to internal affairs. And we all know how that goes. But at the very least, we have the leverage to be able, with this bill passing, to have on record what many of us have only been able to whisper about when police get out of control.
All I'm saying is people need to pay more attention into what at a state level is in the House right now and put pressure on their policymakers, because it is insurance. It's insurance if it does or doesn't pass. It can cover things that issue two actually neglects. And let's be honest, even the FOP has stated that there are more questions than there are answers on the Civilian Review Board.
But that's just the FOP trying to
he essentially says more or so the same thing. They dance around it. The power, if you want me to be candid, the power is still, it's still going to be within the FOP. It's still going to be within the internal affairs. I'm not going to tell anybody, I'm not one to tell somebody how to vote, okay? I'm not. All I can do is present the facts and also present maybe some alternatives that people aren't aware of.
Okay, but if the FOP has too much power and the police are investigating themselves and hardly ever finding anything wrong, doesn't there need to be a civilian review board? And if so, what should it be? I mean, how should it function? Is their inspector general going to be enough? Does it need to have full subpoena power? What should it look like? How big should its budget be?
I would suggest modeling it after civilian review boards in places such as Phoenix or several places in California. Like there are, if you do some research, you'll find some really, really strict. I think California's got one of the strictest civilian review boards. So, I mean, if you take a look, you will find that, you know, there are states and that's how law works. You know, you model off other states, you piggyback off other states. And so with that said, we could do that
Arizona has one?
At a state level.
But yes, you said Arizona yes. has one.
Arizona,
right?
Yes.
So Phoenix. Arizona's a traditionally Phoenix,
correct.
State.
Yes. There are several civilian review boards, and California has one as well.
Yeah, but how?
And there are several other states as well. But those are the two ones I can think of that are very strict on the FOP, on internal affairs. Oftentimes what they do is they take their third party is typically like a third party investigator or whatnot, and they take it out and then they work it out with perhaps the DA or whatnot. Not every civilian review board looks the same, and they're all different. Like, honestly, there's like three main models. And I believe actually, the city council worked with a man named Brian Core, and that's who they worked with. And he specializes in this, and he'll tell you himself if you ever have the opportunity to talk with him, that there are basically three main models. And I don't know, I feel like you could honestly just look at what other states are doing and kind of just go from there. What we have right now is what I call symbolic policy at a city level.
Okay. All right, you're listening to WGRN 94.1, the Green Renaissance. And we're talking about issue 2 that will bring the vote, if it's passed, bring the voters of Columbus a civilian review board. We just heard we're getting the symbolic model. That doesn't sound very good. I'm all for symbolism, but I'd much rather have a real shift
in
power and policy.
Well, but having a real shift is an incremental thing, right? Like, I would love for them to come up with a law that was actually good in the first place. They've almost never done that in any of the campaigns that you and I have worked on in tandem together, Bob. They've made changes, but essentially they've been shifting around deck chairs again, right? And so this is at least better than going, oh, okay, so we have a citizen-led initiative that calls for a district-based system and campaign finance caps, and we're going to give you a hybrid of those and a campaign finance cap that's an insult. Versus a model for a citizens review board that you already know is flawed and diluted, but they're not defining it within the law such that we can't have power in a citizens review board. They're just not putting it in place. Now that becomes the other question. Like, why are they doing that? Are they waiting for the FOP contract? And if that's the case, are they going to let it either pass or fail? And if it passes, it'll be imperfect. And if it fails, they can say, well, gee, we tried. And then we go back to the status quo. I mean, that's...
Or you can call your lawmakers and put pressure on your lawmakers and your senators and your representatives, no matter their political affiliation.
This is not on a state level for this. This is a citywide issue. That's what I'm saying. Like on a statewide level, yeah, you can potentially
do that. But the state could actually implicate something that would be greater than what the city is offering.
Are they prone to do that? Are they inclined to do that, and why?
We'll see. We'll see. Because what we need in order to, like I said, now the only reason, again, that city council moved so quickly was because they were getting their phones blown up. People were becoming more civically engaged. They were calling their city. They were actually becoming more involved in the meetings. I've never seen anything like it before. But
and
they're not doing this.
The president was portrayed in a photo op. That
again.
Helped.
Again,
as was a U.S. representative and a county commissioner.
And a county commissioner, right.
Yeah, it was the trifecta, the FOP's trifecta.
Right.
And of course, all three were black.
Well, I mean, I have found Napoleon Bell to be a responsible member of the FCDP, if you can be a responsible member thereof. You know, Joyce Beatty's always been good at photo ops, and she's very good at like pushing through symbolic resolutions through Congress that don't mean anything and then coming back and gerrymandering our state again. But the part of the reason that there was movement on this legislation in the first place, because they would have just tabled it, was that Shannon Harden got pepper sprayed on the worst day of protests. Right. Now, at the very least, I find that to be leverage. And
is it though? Because he didn't pass it. Like he didn't even, he put it on the people. Again, it's on us.
Right, but up until 2 years ago, everyone in city council voted unanimously on everything. So there was no way you were gonna get a unanimous vote on that. And granted, that's changed some.
And their reasoning also for putting it on the people is they say that the next city council can't undo it because we voted on it and this, that, and the third. But honestly, again, it's just another way of kicking it down, you know, kicking the can down the road. Essentially,
if it passes,
great. But again, we still need this at a state level. We don't need this just at a city level, especially when you could be given something so much more grand, something so much more worth it, something that has like solidification, something that has teeth.
Yeah, if
and you know that if you do. So here's the question then. Issue two, we're even questioning whether it can be passed. And I don't think it's the thin line blue people, because honestly, what I think it is that people, they feel like either it's not good enough, or I've heard some concerns that they don't want the governor to have that power. And not a lot of people really, the charter itself is pretty vague if you've read it. And so with that said, people just don't know. They don't know who's going to be on this board. They don't know. They know who would be appointing it. And that is some people's problem. You know, again, I'm not one to tell somebody to vote yes or no, because I don't tell people how to vote. But I can display the facts and give you my opinion. But what I'm saying is,
how are you going
to
vote?
We need to take this further than we can.
Yeah, how are you going to vote on it, Melissa? Why?
I always felt that voting was a private and intimate thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm not going to say one way or another.
I'm probably very reluctantly going to vote for it, even though I was the attorney. And even though it goes against my proposal, which was to elect, get this, elect citizens from the area commission who actually live in neighborhoods that are diverse.
So that's a decent idea because then they're already vetted.
Right, yeah. You know whether they're good or not, and you would elect people from the Near East Area Commission. You'd elect somebody driving park. You know, areas that are actually driving park was harassed.
Affected by policing? Gee, imagine that.
Yeah, right. So grassroots. And I would make sure there was subpoena power that, you're in.
See, and I'm wondering.
Well, from my understanding, issue two does subpoena power, but what exactly does that mean when you have subpoena power, yet it's still going through internal affairs?
You put people in jail for lying. It means you hand a rogue cop a subpoena and drag him before your body, and if he doesn't comply,
provided the evidence,
go spend a little time in jail. Till he quits being in contempt.
So, okay, how about this? Let's say issue two passes, okay? Let's say issue two passes. If you were to put pressure on your lawmakers for these current 12 bills in the House here, you would actually be able to even give that more so insurance. You could even create a bigger board, more transparency.
Sure.
I think about it.
So
like,
let's go over these bills one at a time. We got about 7-8 minutes left. So lay the bills on us. What are the bills?
I'd love to go over the bills.
What are they?
All right. So I encourage everyone to look into this. Again, you can go to heartbeatmovement.org. You can also find these bills very easily.
Okay.
House Bill 703 is study police practices. It essentially prioritizes the BCI investigate all police investigate. It's basically all these bills put together along with a civilian review board. So then you have
the state 703, criminal investigation,
which is police training. It requires. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, so you have House Bill 706, which is police training, and it includes like de-escalation technique, procedure and mental health crisis, essentially, ongoing and continuous training. Then you have House Bill 707, tear gas ban. We discussed that earlier. Then you have House Bill 709. It's the use of force database. It essentially will require the Attorney General to create and operate a database that will show any time that they discharge a weapon, use deadly force, serious bodily injury. It's all there under transparency. Also, you have House Bill 710, which is bias police and profiling. And it just makes, and not only does it essentially say, hey, don't be racist, but there are going to be repercussions if House Bill 710 passes. There will be repercussions if they are to actually be making some unlawful arrests, kills, any bodily harm that basically creates a civil action for violations. Then you have your House Bill 712. That's law enforcement database. And that's essentially it's about the same as what I just previously mentioned, but it's just add in those who have been fired, terminated, or resigned. It could help, and I say could, I have to choose my words carefully, help from like police basically going from a different precinct to a different precinct after being fired or terminated or quitting due to negligence. Police brutality. And then you have House Bill 713, which is very simple. We discussed this earlier, arrest and citation quotas. That's pretty self-explanatory to where, prohibits the law enforcement from using a formal or informal arrest of citation quotas. And then, of course, the one we spoke of very much in depth earlier, which is House Bill 716. It's strangulation by law enforcement officers. We discussed that. A lot of states are passing this. A lot of states. We have House Bill 721, which is military surplus equipment. I do want to add on this one here. I don't believe that the military belongs on our police force. We are citizens, not terrorists. Next, I have House Bill 735, which is law enforcement identification. Pretty simple, you know, it just requires law enforcement to wear a badge and ID that is, like, clearly visible. But, and here lately, especially over the summer, we've had an issue with that.
Where they cover
then
up
we
their
have,
badges, and you don't know who they are. Now, in fact, I mean, that was Baker Hostetler, right? The report was they couldn't tell which police did wrongdoing because they were essentially intentionally covering up their badges and who they were.
So none of them could
or
be
not wearing it
because
they would have their they would have their riot gear on and not having identification. So then we have 337. This one's a big one. I don't understand why this this isn't logic. It's investigation of law enforcement killings. So essentially, we're just asking that this task the Attorney General with investigating all the law enforcement killings of unarmed people. Right. And then finally, we have SB 338, which is bias policing and profiling. It's very similar to what we were discussing earlier in the previous bill, where there would be repercussions. It's essentially, don't be racist, as my 10-year-old would describe it.
Well, we got a minute left. Heartbeat Movement, what do you want to tell the listeners? How can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, so I urge all of my fellow citizens, my activists, just anyone, everyone, get politically involved, contact a representative, put the pressure on them, ask for meetings, email, call. I mean, because honestly, it really is on us. And they're not, you know what? These bills have been sitting there. And until we can get more attention, just like we just discussed issue two earlier, how it got the attention, this needs to get the attention. That way, it puts pressure on them, whether they're Republican or not. Okay. And I just wanted to add that anybody, I want you guys to, you know, not only put pressure on your lawmakers, because again, we need to bring, we need to hold our law enforcement accountable. And this is the way to build bridges at a state level. As far as the FOP it goes, there's some really great valuable information at stoppoliceunions.org. There's also a petition as well. And I feel like if y'all check that out, you would kind of see where not only, we come from, but, a lot of other people coming from. So there's some really good resources out there. And then also check out heartbeatmovement.org. Again, there's some great valuable resources there as well. And then, of course, I can't express this enough. Please call your lawmakers on these bills, please.
All right. Thanks for sharing that with our listeners. All right. Thank you, Melissa Lapatinsky, Heartbeat Movement Deescalate Ohio. Thank you, David Harewood, for being on the other side of the news.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right. Thanks for listening to the other side of the news. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.